You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Missed us. It was we were week off last week, but alas, we are back. Clown World in Review, also known as the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. Glad you could join us this week. It's great to be back. Had a week off last week from doing the Friday installment of the Clown World in Review. So yeah, we're back. Well, I say we. I'm looking around here. I'm all by my lonesome. Where's Sven Longshanks? Sven Longshanks couldn't join us this week. You're stuck with a solo lampshade. But that's okay, because as you well know, Grandpa Lampshade is quite used to flying solo. So we'll get through this week. This week, as we try to end the week off on a relatively somewhat lighter note, something to laugh about, maybe find some humor in as you wind down your work week. Or is that becoming a thing of the past? You know, I mean, weekends off. I mean, so many people have to work on weekends. It's going the same way as like holidays, vacations, need I say pensions. It's the dream of the 40-hour work week where you're off on the weekend. Those wonderful things of the past. But here I am. I'm getting all nostalgic right off the bat. So now, glad you could join us this week for the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. We're going to get through this solo as, like I say, Sven Longshanks couldn't make it this week. I'm sure he'll be back next week. At least that is the plan. And as we just jump right off into it, as you know, if you're a regular listener to the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist, we try to go through a news story or two. And that, quite honestly, that I find humorous aspects to. And thankfully, here in Clown World, we're never short on that sort of material. And this week is no exception. This week, we've got the story of a Muslim good boy who didn't do nothing. And as always, our source for material, well, virtually always, our source for material comes from the Daily Mail. I don't know why, but it's just like I can only find this good stuff on the Daily Mail. Our title of our story this week is Death Row Prisoner Who Killed Two Sons-in-Laws and His Daughter's Friend to Cleanse the Family Honor Is the Victim of Anti-Muslim Prejudice and Wouldn't Hurt a Fly, His Son Claims. It sounds totally legit. The son of a Muslim immigrant sentenced to death for the honor killings of his son-in-law and his daughter's friend has claimed his father is harmless and wouldn't hurt a fly. Nader Irsan of Texas. Yep. You know, when you think of Texas, you think cowboys, you know, and longhorn cattle and the Wild West. You know, those were days gone by. Now, when you think of Texas, you should think of guys not named Butch or Sundance or you know, Bill or something, you know, or Hopalong or whatever kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of cowboy names right off the top of my head. No, you should think of guys named Nader Irsan of Texas. Insists Ali Mahmoud Awad Irsan, another Texas name if I've ever heard one, is an innocent man and he's determined to seek justice. Well, I wonder who else did the honor killings if it wasn't this guy. I mean, you know, there has to be some sort of, you know, I guess another alleged perpetrator here. I'm wondering who the other culprit could be. Ali Irsan, I can't believe I'm struggling with these native Texas names. Ali Irsan, who is a naturalized U.S. citizen, which means not really a U.S. citizen, was sentenced to death by a Texas jury in July of 2018 for the fatal shootings of his daughter's husband, Cody Beavers, and her friend, Galara Bagarzadeh, I don't know, some other camel jockey name, in 2012. Well, you know, The good news here is there will be no hurry, because when you're sentenced to death row in Texas, you're going to be sitting there for like 20 something years. And in that 20 something years, you know, Hollywood celebrities may actually take up your case because, you know, you're such obviously wrongly convicted. Prosecutors say the 61-year-old conservative Muslim became enraged after his daughter Nazreen Islam married Beavers, a 28-year-old Christian, and converted to Christianity. Well, you know, I mean, these things work both ways, you know. I mean, we have these Christian people that go around doing these honor killings, so, you know, we can't be, we don't want to be Islamophobic here or anything. I could also point out that he was white, but that then I'm topping, not only am I topping Islamophobia on there, I'm obviously adding racism to the mix, and we wouldn't want to do that. That would be worse than the murder and the honor killing, so we don't want to do that. Besides, when you think of Texas, you know, like I said before, you if you're like a relic of the past like me, you might think of things like cowboys and longhorns and the Wild West. But now, here in clown world, because see, it's clown world in Texas too, you think of honor killings. You know, nothing says a Lone Star State like a good old-fashioned honor killing. So let's continue. Investigators said, oh, these Texas names. Bagarzadeh had encouraged Nasreen to marry Beavers and Ali Ersan's wife, I don't even care if I'm pronouncing them wrong now. I'm just going to throw it out there. Testified at trial that her husband tried to, quote, clean his honor with the killings. Police said Ersan, his wife and their son, Nasim, followed Bagarzadeh to her parents' home in January 2012, and that Nasim Ersan shot her in her car. It's like the Wild West, only with Allah Akbar. We don't have you're not going to have a gunfight in the street. You have a honor killing in the parking lot. 11 months later, Ali Mahud Awad Ahsan slipped into Beaver's unlocked apartment near Houston, waited for his daughter to leave for work, and then shot his son-in-law, according to Alawade, who testified as part of a plea agreement with prosecutors. But Ali Ahsan's other son, Nader, is adamant there's no way anyone can come to that conclusion that he's guilty. I mean, it's not like, you know, behavior patterns are real or anything. There's no way he sounds like a, you know, good boy, wouldn't do nothing to me. Of course, you know, being from Texas, I remember way back when they started passing like concealed carry laws, where you could go get a permit from the government so that you could actually exercise your constitutional right to have a weapon on you. And I remember, as usual, the commies were claiming that it was going to be the Wild West. All of y'all remember that? Because they made these claims. It's just like climate change, you know. They said that by 2000, then by 2010, then by 2012, you know, we were all going to be basically drowning because all the ice was going to melt. You're not supposed to remember that, but I remember these things, getting a little long in the tooth, as I am. And I remember when they were saying that if they passed these concealed carry laws, there would be shootouts over trivial matters. There would be the Wild West all over again. You would just be going down the street, and these people, implied here, armed white people, because, you know, blacks were already shooting each other in streets. It's like they always do. That's not what they were implying, because it's not like blacks go out and get a permit to conceal carry a weapon. So the implication was evil white guys are going to be pulling their permitted concealed weapons and gunning each other down in the street, because I don't know. I never understood what the reasoning was. I guess it'd be sort of like, say there, Bill, you done disrespect me. So I've got my government permitted concealed weapon here, and I'm going to whip it out. I'm going to whip it out, and we're going to have a gunfight here. And they said we were going to have gunfights in the street. And the very same people who said that if we passed concealed carry weapons laws in the state of Texas, that we would have gunfights in the street, have welcomed the diversity, and they've welcomed the importing of Muslims, and now we have honor killings in the parking lots, and we have honor killings in apartments. So really, you know, you look at this thing, and it's just like, well, you were going to have these gunfights in the streets, which never happened. But instead, they turned around and brought us honor killings. Thank you. Thank you so much, commies. Speaking in a new episode of the BBC 3 documentary series,
love and hate crime, honor killings. Nader said the idea of his father murdering someone contradicts his 50 plus years of living on Earth, and argues he was a victim of prejudice as a result of his religion. He's a harmless guy. He doesn't hurt a fly. Everyone you talk to says he's the nicest man, Nader alleges. Unless you are like his daughter and you insult the family honor, then not so nice. You have no tangible evidence that truly links him to any crime. But because this is a southern country where people don't take kindly, they don't like Muslims. Not because they know them and the Muslims have done something against them, just because of what the media propagates and shows 24/7. They take that to say that all Muslims are like that, so southerners do not like Muslims. The media propagates Islamophobia 24/7. Are you kidding me? I do not watch American TV, but I mean, if you do, if you flip on like a TV show or a movie, and there's like the bad guy is a terrorist, it's the bad guy is always the terrorist is always an evil white guy. Looks like, you know, he came from Sweden, or, you know, an actual Swede, not like the new Swedes, because then that would be Islamophobia. But they really, seriously, you got like this blonde haired, blue eye terrorist. And his terrorist agenda is always, I don't know, vague, or maybe somehow related to racism. But the only reason this good guy who wouldn't even hurt a fly was convicted is because the media is propagating Islamophobia 24/7. Yeah, well, and here's the other thing I love. You know, once again, so supposedly, I guess these guys are supposed to be Texan, just like the native Texans, you know, just like the white people that settled Texas. And yet he classifies Texas as Southern, you know, because we all know the South, you know, that equals slavery, so it must be bad. This is a Southern country, a country. We're a country now. I wish we could secede. We might bring the Okies along. Maybe Arkansas. I don't know. Louisiana. Yeah, you get iffy there. But if we're a Southern country, yes. We all know this. If you think about the South, you think about, you know, slavery and Islamophobia. Of course, this is funny because Texas, for those of you who don't know, because we have a worldwide audience, I mean, Texas is not like, you say the South, you think of like the antebellum South, and that would be like Mississippi, Alabama, you know, Texas. I mean, Texas is more like what you would classify as the Southwest or even the West. I mean, you say the South, you're thinking like, you know, like cotton plantations and obsolete farm equipment out there, you know, cotton picking and things like that. And, you know, that's not Texas. Texas is the Southwest, or just simply the West. But nonetheless, it's also apparently it's about the Islamophobia that the media promotes 24/7. He adds, they say he was. Do you like the way I'm trying to kind of imitate what the guy's voice play sounds? I'm trying to add a certain element of realism here. He adds, they say he was controlling us, brainwashed us. This is extremism. This is all fiction. It has nothing to do with Islam. At the end of the day, Nader reveals he is determined to prove his father's innocence, despite the death sentence looming over his head. He told us to stand up for what we believe in, what we think is right, for the truth, even if the whole world is against you, he explains. We're not going to sit down quietly while they throw the book at an innocent man. We're going to stand up, throw our voices, and protest until justice can be done. Nader blames a broken justice system for his father's conviction and claims that is the reason he wants to go to law school. He wants to go to law school. Well, I mean, I would be real curious to hear what the alternative scenario is. I mean, who else then, if the Muslim father did not go out and do the honor killings, then who did the honor killings? I mean, how are we going to find a white guy to pin this on? How are we going to find a racist white guy who went around and honor killed the Muslim father's kids? Because, I mean, that's the only way I can see an alternative scenario, you know, that falls within the confines of what's allowed in clown world. It's the only way I see it playing out. We've got to find a white guy who went out
and honor killed this poor Muslim, probably to frame him. There was probably some beer drinking working class white guy that we will name Bubba, who in his hatred for the color of the skin and the difference in religion and the new native Texans of this southern land, this southern country, he decided, he hatched a plot. They were probably sitting around drinking beer, you know, and they with his Bubba like friends, and they went out in their pickup truck that had this big gaudy roll bar on it with a whole bunch of lights, and they went, and they went tearing down the road, and they probably actually they went tearing down the road and probably chased the daughter and the husband and chased them to their apartment while yelling yeehaw. They were probably twirling ropes and still had their beers in their hands and get them Muslims, yeehaw, buddy, and chase them down, all part of a nefarious plot to frame the Muslim dad for doing these honor killings. I mean, that sounds a whole lot more plausible than that, you know, the Muslim dad would go out and honor kill the daughter and her husband because she married a white guy and converted to Christianity. I mean, how far out there is that? I mean, I'm sure the media would say the very idea is a debunked conspiracy theory. How could you even think that that would be more likely? In fact, if you think that's more likely than my proposed Bubba's hollering yeehaw in the back of a pickup truck twirling ropes while sloshing beer around, then you too are obviously an Islamophobe. Let's see here. Going back, I switch back on my Haji voice here with what happened to my family. What happened to my dad? What that kind of showed me justice for all doesn't mean justice for all, he says. It means justice when you look a certain way, when you practice a certain religion. But for other people, minorities, Muslims, African Americans, not always is justice served. This happened to me and my family, and it's kind of opened my eyes to what's wrong with the system. Hopefully in my future I can try and fix the broken system. When you look, so in other words, if you're white, you're never going to get convicted. There are no white people in prison. Now, which is it? Because we're told when we point out, you know, like things such as blacks committing all these crimes, the counter is always, oh, yes, well, we're going to ignore per capita and point out that there's all these white people in prison. But now this, they flip it over here, and they're essentially, this guy's making the claim that if you're a white guy, you never go to prison. Only blacks, Muslims, any sort of minority, they're the only ones that go to prison. If you're white, and if you're a white Christian, you're not going to go to jail. And this is a good thing to know. This is a good thing to know. I mean, if I'm ever drug into court, I'm just going to stand up and say, my defense is I'm white and Christian. Can I go now? You know, Can we just drag some random Muslim in here and convict them and convict them instead? If you look a certain way or you practice a certain religion, then you get off the hook. Because, you know, it, no matter how damning the evidence that you were riding in the back of a pickup twirling ropes and yelling yeehaw and doing the honor killings to frame the innocent Muslim, they just won't convict you. The outrage. And to think of this, you know, living under this horrible, horrible society where all this Islamophobia exists, where they're hated for the color of the skin and the practice of the religion. I mean, for this new Texan, it's just horrible. If only there was a place, if there were only some sort of place where they wouldn't have to face this sort of Islamophobia and the racism and the hatreds and the injustice. That would be the country they came from. They could go back there because I'm sure it's a, you know, Muslim majority country, and you could go back there and you wouldn't have to face this horrible, you know, injustice and Islamophobia. During the documentary, it emerges that investigating officers looked further into Ali Ersan's past and discovered another dead son-in-law, and he too was probably killed by white guys named Bubba. In 1999, he shot and killed Amjad Ilidam, 29, who was married to his eldest daughter, Nazama, despite him not giving his permission. Nazama testified against her father in the double murder case. Well, you...
she just obviously was in on it. She was in on it with the white guys who were trying to frame this poor innocent man. Ali Ehsan admits he killed him during the documentary, but claims it was self-defense. So the other murder that he does, that they do admit he did, of another son-in-law. But that was self-defense. That was different. That wasn't an honor killing, and I guess it wasn't a frame-up. I got ahead of myself. It wasn't a frame-up by white guys, but it was self-defense. I did not kill anybody, or at least I did not kill the people that I was accused of killing. So what does that mean? Does that mean he just admitted that he's a murderer? Yes, I've murdered people, but I didn't murder these people. That's essentially what it is. I did not kill anybody, or at least I did not kill the people that I was accused of killing. He says, adding, Aladom came into my house demanding my daughter, and he threatened to kill my family. So the other guy that he murdered, and I don't understand, because the other guy did marry his daughter without his permission, so how would he be coming into the house demanding his daughter? Sounds like he already had the daughter. And he threatened to kill my family. So I killed him. But I did not kill him. I did not kill the people that are being accused of killing. I killed some other people. But I did not kill this guy. This is a total frame-up. It's a total frame-up because of the hatred and the Islamophobia. Now let's see here. It's hard to keep with all of these killings, all of these different versions of honor killings and killings, it's hard to keep up. So getting back to the white guy, the white son-in-law, Christian, who married his daughter, and she converted to Christianity. Getting back to this victim, let's see here. Yes, our alleged being framed up because of Islamophobia. It turns out, apparently, he thinks real highly. They were real tight. He was real tight with this white Christian guy because he certainly, you know, he's not a racist, and he certainly doesn't have any sort of animosity towards people who practice a religion, because he's a member of the tolerant Islam. Because remember, it's a religion of peace. So he is a religion of peace Muslim. He's not one of these extremist Muslims that are, you know, portrayed on TV 24/7 to promote Islamophobia in these evil racist Western countries, and especially Southern countries like Texas. Ali is a tolerant Muslim. He is one of the good ones. So let's keep an open mind here. Speaking about the death of beavers, Ali Ehsan insists, I am not guilty. I did not kill the son of a bitch. I'm not sorry that he died. But I did not kill him. So, yeah. No animosity there. Obviously, he sounds like a good member of the religion of peace. He's one of the tolerant ones. He's just being framed up with the Islamophobia. And you know, because if you're white and Christian, then you're obviously promoting the hatred against the victims here, which is the tolerant and inclusive Muslims. At trial, Ehsan told jurors that he wasn't involved in the deaths. He said his daughter had caused his family pain by marrying beavers. Now, if this was a white man being put on trial, this would be called victim shaming or victim blaming or something. But that's right, because the justice system is so slanted towards white Christians. That's right, it's so prejudiced to give white Christian guys a break. The daughter, Nesreen Ehsan, testifies she had to obtain a protective order to prevent her family from harassing her after she moved out. She also testified that her father forbade her from dating Christians. Now, let's just close our eyes for a moment and go off to a fantasy land known as Not Clown World. And let's imagine a world where Christians or white Christian fathers tell their grown daughters, you are forbidden from, you're forbidden from dating or marrying Muslims, especially Muslims of a different race. Wow. Can you just almost fathom the amount of outrage here. And instead, we're having a documentary where they're actually airing this guy's claims that he's innocent, that there's no way he could have possibly done these killings. It's just because of the Islamophobia and the racism. That's the only reason he's being convicted of these crimes. Never mind that his own family has testified against him. Never mind that he killed some other son-in-law. There's kind of like a track record here. And never mind his obvious open disdain for white people and Christians specifically. Never mind any of that. He is the victim here. And let's see, let's wrap this article up. Alorode told jurors that her husband had also planned to kill his daughter. The entire family, except for this one son, has testified that, yeah, this guy did it. He's doing the honor killings. That's right. They're probably mixed up with the evil white Bubba guys that actually did the killing. Nazama Adarua and Nasreen Ihsan are now in hiding. A date is yet to be set for Ali Ihsan's execution. Well, don't worry, because being from Texas myself, I can tell you how the death penalty will work here. He's going to have like at least 20 years. At least 20 years to sit there and come up with some other excuse, a better excuse than the one he has so far, as to how there's no way he did this. So you know, it's not like the clock is ticking down. It's not like, well, we have to panic because this poor guy who's been framed up by evil Bubbas, he's going to be like hung next week because, you know, it's Texas. And that's how we enforce the death penalty. I mean, he's got at least 20, 23, 25, hell, maybe even 30 years to come up with a more plausible excuse, more plausible scenario, and a lot of things could happen then. Celebrities might take up his cause and sign a petition and send it to the government, and as we devolve into clown world, who knows, we might have another Muslim president again, and he may get a good stay of execution because, you know, it's obviously this guy's just a victim. He's a victim of racism. He's a victim of Islamophobia. He's a victim of a justice system that caters to white Christian men and never puts them in prison. And that's why there's more white men in prison than blacks, if you ignore per capita, because the system is so so slanted to where white men never go to jail for anything, no matter what. And at the end of the day, he wouldn't be facing this injustice, this horrible Islamophobia, this horrible racism and inequality. If he was just back in his own country, if he wasn't here, if there were no mosques in Texas, if Texas was still, you know, about cowboys and longhorn cattle and the Wild West. Instead, now it's about Allah Akbar. It's about moss, and it's about honor killings. Welcome to modern Texas, and welcome to clown world. And you know, it's easy to laugh about this stuff, but remember, they're doing a documentary and they're letting this guy air his claims that there's no way he did any of these obviously honor killings that he obviously did. I mean, he's actually getting a chance to air this. I mean, yeah, it's stupid. And like who would actually believe that? But he's getting the opportunity to air this out on national TV. He's getting his opportunity to make his claims, his protesting about being railroaded by a system of injustice. He's getting that opportunity. While we have literal political prisoners in this country that basically aren't even allowed to defend themselves. They get kangaroo courts and they get sentenced to prison and nothing. Nothing. Will they get an opportunity? Will any of the guys that defended themselves at Charlottesville, when, you know, in self-defense, when they were attacked, while no commie agitators who attacked them got any jail time, will they get a documentary? Will they get an opportunity to defend themselves, to bring their case to national attention, that they're essentially just political prisoners? Will they get that opportunity? No. And yet this outlandish claim that there's no way Muhammad here or whatever, there's no way this guy could have done it. It's ludicrous on its face. I mean, it's so obvious. His own family says he did it, except for the one son. The rest of the entire family is like, yeah, he did the honor killings. But yet, as ludicrous as it is, he gets the opportunity to go on national TV and defend himself, to make his ludicrous claims. And I'm sure they'll be treated as, well, we have to be fair here. We have to consider the possibility that a bunch of, I mean, you know, I saw it on a movie one time. You know how those white guys down in Texas are. They've got a big four-wheel drive pickup and a roll bar with a bunch of lights on it. Throw them a few beers and some lassos, and they're going to go hunting Muslims and blacks. And we all know that's how it works. So we've seen. How many times have we seen this on television? We have to give this careful consideration. We have to hear all sides, all points of view here, so that we can be fair, so that we can judge this fairly. It's complete clown world. And yet they're allowed to do this. We're going to treat it as though this is like some sort of like legitimate, plausible scenario. While he cries all these tears about how the system is rigged for white people. While he actually has the gall to sit here and say, if you're white in general and Christian in particular, then essentially the justice system turns a blind eye to whatever you do. Turns a blind eye. No celebrities ever take up the cause of a white guy that might be wrongfully convicted. Ever. When was the last time one of these projects that gets wrongly convicted people on death row, they demand he gets a stay of execution and a new hearing because we've uncovered new evidence? When was the last time one of these defendants, one of these guys on death row, was a white guy? Never. It's always blacks. In this case, this guy's going on about Muslims. It's always somebody not a white guy. And yet this guy has the gall. He has the gall to sit here and claim the system is unjust because if you're white, and if you're white and Christian especially, you're never going to go to prison for anything. But if you're an honorable, innocent Muslim, that your entire rest of your family testified that, yeah, you did indeed go do the honor killings, then this horrible Islamophobic racist system is going to put you on death row. We'll wrap up on that note. Hope you enjoyed this week's installment of Clown World Review. I know it's not as much fun without the bants. I enjoy the bants with Sven Longshanks. But, you know, it's solo bants. I do what I can. Hope you enjoyed this week's. I plan to have Sven back next week. So be sure and tune in then for the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist, as I like to call it, Clown World in Review. Until then, hope you enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.